Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Monitors just out there. Is it loud enough out there for you guys? Okay, cool. All right. Oh, they turn it down, they said. No, just hallelujah. But last week I talked about how excuses continue to drive people. You guys know somebody? I know we can all think of somebody right now that every time you ask them to do something, they have an excuse, right? And even for their excuses, they have another excuse. But many people have so many excuses that hinder them from growing in their life, but they also have excuses that hinder them from growing in God. Amen? What are some of those excuses? I don't have time. Last week, we had the excuse of, I don't believe in God. Have you heard that before? Right? That is not a true statement, because usually the people that say they don't believe in God, they say they don't know who it is. They just believe in a higher power, right? So that's an excuse they've used to stop believing in God. We talked about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 23, how God can be clearly seen in what he has made. Amen? So, and it said in that scripture that people would be without an excuse, okay? How do we defeat the I don't believe in God excuse? We have faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. Amen. So you have to have faith in what you believe. Amen. We also talked about remembering the things that God has done. This is how you counteract the disbelief excuse. You have to remember what God has done. Has God done anything in your life? Right? If we think back to what God has done, whether he saved us from this, whether he prepared a way or made a way out of no way for us and our families, if we remember what God has done, it would help us to remember who God is and that we believe in who God is. If you look throughout the scriptures and with the Israelites, they were instructed to continue to build monuments that would help people remember what God did. So when they went to a certain place, they put rocks together, right? And you know, it's just crazy. And it's interesting that they use rocks, because the Bible says, if you don't praise me, rocks will cry out. Why will rocks cry out? Because the rocks are remembrance of what God did in their lives. So they would build these monuments of rocks, and every time they come there, they would be able to tell their parents, oh yeah, that's when God took us out of the land of Egypt. We had to put this here so you would remember. But what happens is, after generations, they forgot what that meant. They forgot what the rocks were, or they were just like, oh, that was grandma and that wasn't me. I have my own needs and I haven't seen God come through yet. But if you just remember what God has done, it will help you believe. Amen. The other excuse was, I'm not good enough. How many have ever said that before? I'm not good enough, God. I don't have what I need, God. So we talked about Moses, right? Moses was like, I don't speak that well. I'm not a great speaker. Not only that, I don't know what to tell the people. He had a lot of excuses, but God showed him that I will provide for those excuses, okay? We also talked about David and Goliath last week, where everybody was making an excuse on why not to fight Goliath. But David came and said, look, why are we scared of this man who's talking about our God? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know what I'm saying? And people, one of the biggest excuses that were in that part of the book was King Saul, who, because he was not in right connection with God, he was the warrior that was supposed to fight Goliath. But because he was not in the right position with the Lord, his relationship was not strong, he was withering and doing his own thing, he had an excuse that not only plagued him, but it plagued the whole camp of Israel until David came. Amen? So here we are today. We're starting new. I'm going to say this. Excuses are things that we use to justify our actions. Right? Another thing, excuses change nothing but make everyone feel better. Have you ever thought about that? People feel good once they get excused. Oh, okay, they accepted that one. That quote was by Mason Cooley. But excuses change nothing but make everyone feel better. How many of us have got used to allowing excuses dominate even our walk with God? Right? When it's time to pray, oh, I'm tired, Lord. I love you, God, but man, I'm not getting out of this bed right now. Okay, God, I got to go to this place. I got to go to this place. Lord, I would read my Bible, but Facebook looks really interesting right now. These are the excuses that we give God. And I'm going to just say this. God doesn't like excuses, right? Every scripture that we see and every scripture that we see somebody have an excuse, Jesus, while he was physically on earth, was like, deal with it. Or just go there. You can't follow me and have that excuse. So what I'm saying is we have to get rid of the excuses in our life. Amen? Here's another excuse. I don't have time, all right? Or God is not my priority in life. And I think we've all said this excuse. We're going to break this excuse down. We're going to go to Mark chapter 4. Because these people had this same excuse. Somebody say the parable of the sower. All right, the parable of the sower. It says, and again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. All right? But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded how much crop? No crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to him, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10 says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Verse 13 says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Okay, so Jesus is just breaking it down. Like, this is a math problem that they heard, and they're like, I don't understand this math. So Jesus is just breaking it down. He says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, somebody say Satan. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay? Verse 16 says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, somebody say for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in the entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay? Verse 20 says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, let's stop there. Jesus breaks this down. But what we can look at this is there is excuses that these people place in their life that keep them from producing fruit. All right? I like the word that is said in verse 8. It said, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. Now, when a Christian is increasing, what does that look like? That looks like that person is growing in God, but also he's helping other people grow in God. All right? So when you think of increasing and producing, this is the core of what a Christian is supposed to become. Amen? Because it says clearly that those are the ones that accepted the word and they bear fruit. Now, we don't hear a lot of people talk about fruit unless they're talking about judging somebody, right? It says you should know somebody by their fruit. And if they're not bearing an apple, but they say that they're oranges or whatever, it ain't right, right? But we have to bear fruit. Amen? We have to go produce fruit. Produce and increase the kingdom of God. That's our goal, okay? Now, those that heard the word, they did that without excuse. Somebody say without excuse. But you see the ones right before them, the ones that were among the thorns, it said the cares of this world choked it out. So what does that mean? That means they were too concerned with the other things that were in their life. We see this in the church. Some people don't come to church, and I know we all got jobs. I'm not knocking your job, okay? Or whoever's jobs. Some people go to church, but if their job gets in their way, they say, I can't go to church, right? That's true. But how many of you know that there's church probably every day somewhere? We don't got church every day. I mean, we don't have to work every day. Hopefully not. And if we do, we're putting too much value in our job. Amen? I remember this. I was in a FedEx interview. Great interview. They were about to hire me, right? And I was like, okay, what days would I have to work? And they said, you're going to have to work on Sundays. And I was like, I don't do that. And I was like, is there any way around it? Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not working on Sunday because I go to church. And he was like, nah, and it was going to pay me pretty good. I was like, ooh, about to get this FedEx job, right? And because they would not allow me not to work on Sundays, I was like, I can't take this job, right? Now, some people would be like, Keith, that's a little bit extreme, but for me and my family, I value us being in the house of God more than I value a job, right? And it's important that we do this because when we start, I mean, and it's crazy because nowadays, they're used to, how many know that back in the day when my parents were kids, right, that was back in the day, right, they ain't in here, so that was back in the day, stuff was closed on Sundays. You guys know that? It was closed on Sundays. They didn't work. Some businesses still do that. They close on Sundays to honor a day for the Lord and also honor a day where we should spend time with our families, right? It's important that we remember that. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? So it's important that we do this. It's not, and this is no disrespect to FedEx. I don't want people to get that and be, FedEx is the devil. I'm not saying that. But I couldn't work that. And let's say that we didn't have Saturday church then, so I could have went, worked there on a Sunday, but still was able to get to church on Saturday. You just got to find a way so that you're steady in the house of God so that you can continue to grow, produce, and what? Increase. Amen? It's important. People do not value church today. They have an excuse, and I don't even want to get ahead of myself, but I'll say this, and I'll probably say it again. There's people in China that have to hide to go to church. Matter of fact, if they get caught going to church, they may be killed. But they value church. But in the United States, church is almost optional, and sometimes it's not even optional. It's not even an option for some people because we have got comfortable, and a lot of them say that they're Christians. But how many of you know we need to be amongst likewise-minded people, people with the right mind? I'm going to tell you this. I know a lot of people that get themselves in trouble because they're not with people that have the mind of Christ. They're with people that have the mind of the world. So when they get together, they're not talking about, hey, let's read the scripture, Brother Johnny. No, they're talking about, let's go here. Let's go do this. They're doing everything that's outside of the scripture. Hey, it's okay to smoke this. It's legal now, right? Because they don't have the mind of Christ. And the Bible says the mind of this world is at war against the mind of Christ. Amen? So as we look, we have to get rid of these excuses and not allow riches. It said in this scripture in verse 19, it says, or let's start at verse 18. Now, the ones that are sown among the thorns, they are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, all right, and deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in to choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. This is a person that has been in church. They probably were saved, but because they were drifted away, and I know friends right now that fit this bill to the T. They were living for the Lord, and then they decided, hey, man, this is not working for me. I got to go get some money. It was great serving God, but I don't like serving God and being broke. I know I can go get some money over here, and I could be good. So their excuse is, I can make more money over there, right? Or their excuse is, I wasn't taken care of over there. But we have to know that we have to prioritize God in our life. Amen? The cares of this world that people have are excuses that we have to break. Some of those are jobs and careers, but the crazy thing about when Jesus called his disciples, guess what? They had jobs. They were what? Somebody help me. They were fishermen, most of them. Jesus walks up to them and says, come follow me. They didn't say, wait, Jesus, I'm on the job, right? They didn't use that excuse. They got up and followed him. But how many of you know that there were other disciples that said, hey, I have to go bury my mom who just passed away. Jesus was like, let the dead bury the dead. Now, that's and let me say this. Don't go saying that kind of stuff to people, right? Don't be like, let the dead bury the dead. Why you say that? Because Jesus said that. No, what Jesus was saying was, don't let that be an excuse from you serving God. Your mom passing away. Don't let that be an excuse to keep you from serving God. And sometimes that happens, right? A sibling, somebody passes away and now we're upset with God and you're still trying to bury them, but you can't do it because your mind is upset with God. Now, you have used that as an excuse to separate you from God, right? And we know people that have done that. But we can't let that happen in our life. So the excuse of I don't have time or God is not my priority in life, we have to make him priority in our life. And the scripture that we look to, a simple scripture that would help us remember this, is Matthew 6:33. Somebody know it? Said, but, somebody say but. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right? This is how we make God a priority. We have to but seek God first. All right? Despite what's going on with your bank account, despite what's going on in your mind, despite how you feel, you have to say, I'm going to make my mind up Remove every excuse that says, I'm not going to put God first, and I'm just going to begin to put him first. Amen? Put him first. Say, I must put him first. Remove excuses. That's what we have to do. Amen? All right, and then after that, I'll just read the next verse. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. What is that saying? A lot of us, really, if we don't seek God first, we're worried about what's going on. Right? I'm going to tell you this. You can't worship and worry at the same time. You can't praise and worry at the same time because they don't work together. Jay Moss got a song said, don't pray and worry. Right? When we pray, we're supposed to present our requests to God and leave them there with him. And not only that, if we believe that he's going to answer them, God, I put this in your lap. God, you know that I need finances to take care of me and my family. God, you know that I need this. I need that. I can't worry about it no more. Right? We got to get there. But how many of our minds make excuses like, oh, is God really going to do that? Right? And not only that, your bill collectors will say, is God really said do that? Is that God? I don't believe in God, right? That's the excuses. And sometimes our own mind makes excuses for us that we have to get rid of. And how do we do that? By having faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. If you don't have faith in your life, you feel like you want to grow in faith, what you must do is get into the word of God more. Point blank. That's how you will grow in your faith. Amen? Point number four that I have, the excuse number four is, I don't have the resources. Right? How many have heard somebody say, I would serve God, but I don't have enough? Or I would go preach the gospel, but I don't have enough. I would be a missionary to Sudan, but I don't have anybody backing me. But guess what? Remove the excuse and just do what God told you to do. Right? Now, I do Christian rap music. I don't have a budget as big as some of these people have budgets. But for me to just say, oh, well, I'm not going to do nothing until I get the budget that they have, guess what? It might not ever happen. And I'm missing the purpose that God has for me. So I have to say, despite what I don't have, let me use what I do have, right? We read Moses last week. I didn't read this part, but when God sent Moses back to Egypt, all he used was the things that Moses had. He put his hand in his cloak. His hand came out with leprosy, right? He put a stick down, and it turned into a snake. Why? Because God will use what you already have. Somebody say, God will use what I have. If I don't make an excuse. See, just because I don't have the budget of somebody else, that doesn't mean that I'm not able to reach different people. Each one of us, and I'm not going to say anybody's names, but all of us can reach different people with what God has placed in our spirits. Your testimony will touch somebody else that I can't touch. Your testimony will touch somebody that I can't reach. Why? Because God wants to use you to bring increase and produce. Amen? So when you say, I don't have the resources, let's look at what Jesus did when he was tempted in Luke chapter 4. All right? It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. So this produces a need, right? When you're hungry, you need something. right? And if you don't get what you need, you're going to have a fit. Right? Verse 3. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So Jesus looks at the resource. He's missing food right now. The devil tells him, make food. Now, Jesus does this later, right? It's very interesting because remember when there was five loaves and two small fish? He created more bread, right? But he only did it because he was instructed by God to do it. Here, he was instructed by the devil to do it. This is why it's important that we have to watch who's instructing us. Because if the devil's instructing you to go do something, it's not going to produce what God wants you to produce. Verse 5. Jesus didn't have the resource, but he looked to what he did have. All right? That's important. Forget about what you don't have and look at what you do have. Some people say, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? It just depends on your mindset. Right? Some people with $5 think, man, I need more money. Other people will be like, man, thank God I got $5. I know that God can take this five and multiply this five. Now, I'm not telling you to go to no casino, right? Don't do that, okay? But what I am saying is God can multiply what you have if your mind is there. And then if you look at my supplier is God and it's not this $5 that is in my bank or this job that I'm waiting on money to get, then you realize that my supply is going to always be good. Amen? Let's keep on going. Verse 5, it says, then the devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, that's crazy. Like some of us got to, like, picture some of this stuff that happened. In a moment of time, the devil shows him all the kingdoms of the world. So what is Jesus seeing? He's seeing all kind of fly stuff. Right, but we got to remember who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He reigns already, right? So verse 6 says, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Now, what is the resource that Jesus sees immediately? And this is important why we have to watch what we desire. Okay? He saw all the kingdoms of the world. The devil told him he'll give it to him if he worshiped him. Now, I'll tell you this. We can see that this is Jesus and the devil. Right? Because it says that. But the same thing happens to people that we know. Right? Oh, you can, hey, man, hey, bro, and it's not even the devil coming to tell him it. Hey, dude, we could blow up. All you got to do is just take Jesus out of your music. Just don't say Jesus so many times. Just do positive music. It's so funny. I always say this story when me and my brother Chamin were selling CDs on the block, and when we were having bad weeks, it got to the point where we can predict when somebody was going to tell us, take Jesus out of your music. Like, I would go down, we would be driving, I'd be like, Che, watch, today somebody's going to tell us, if you just take Jesus out of your music, you can blow up. Look, I'm blown up. Like, it happened like clockwork. Why? Because the devil was trying to take a desire that we had to just provide for our families and make it bigger than something that we didn't really need. Now, I'm going to just be honest. If I would love to be an artist that is very successful. Who doesn't want to be successful? All of us want to be successful in whatever field that we are in, right? But you should never take success at the point of your worship. Right? What am I saying? If you can't continually dedicate your walk with God, continue to dedicate your life of spending time with God, worshiping Him, exalting Him for who He is, if your success drives you away from that, then my question is that good success? When you look in the story of Joshua chapter 1, God said, meditate on this word day and night and keep it in your heart. I'm paraphrasing this. And then you will make your way successful. And then he said, then I will give you good success. Some people, I always say this, some people just have success, but it's not good. You could be successful at something, but still not excited about it. So we must make sure that our success doesn't pull us from worshiping God. Amen? So Jesus said and answered him in verse 8, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation. Now, see, this is an interesting thing. We only get to see three of the temptations. But that verse tells me that Jesus was tempted way more than just three temptations. Right? I can go look in the book of Hebrews. It talks about we have a high priest that went through every temptation that we went through. And he passed. Amen? He was able to continue to walk against temptations by doing what? By using his resource. All right, so the excuse that we have was, I don't have enough resources. Or I don't have the resources. But let me tell you this, the resource that you do have is the word of God. Amen? And if we quit looking at different things that are in our lives, quit using them as excuses and just say, okay, if I have excuse, what does the word of God say about that excuse? How can I put that in my life so that I will not have an excuse? We have to put the word in us. Amen? Because the word of God is enough. Somebody say, it's enough. Verse 13, let me finish it. It said, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Amen? All right. So, if we don't have resources, we have to know that we do have the resources. And if we do have the resources, we have to be faithful with them. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read this, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Some of them had it, some of them didn't. It says this, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. All right, so part of the resource is wisdom. Okay, now the Bible says that if we ask God for wisdom, he will give it to us. Amen. So not only that, you can teach. How many of you know you could teach yourself pretty much anything today? I do not work on cars by any means. Okay, my mom made a funny face, but YouTube can show me how to do certain things on my car. Now I'm going to tell you this. Changing light bulbs on a Lexus is not like changing light bulbs on other cars. You have to pull certain things out. It's the first time me and my dad did it without YouTube, it took 3 hours to change one light bulb. And I was hoping we got all the screws back in the car. Right? Now with YouTube, I saw it a different way that the guy did it, and I was like, oh, we could have saved hours by watching this video. So what did I do? I gained wisdom. So I changed both of my light bulbs in less than 20 minutes. Okay, now that's wisdom. I had to change the doorknob on my, for my opening the door. As it was getting colder, what happened one day? I pulled it and it cracked. So the doorknob had a split on it. And then if you wanted to open the door, you had to know how to do it or you weren't going to get in. So I bought the piece, and my brother, he was like, oh, it'd take me 2 hours work to do it. My brother works on cars. But I was like, man, I'm just going to have to do this thing, right? So what did I do this time? What did I do first? I didn't just start taking out things off the door. I had to look it up on YouTube. I looked it up, got it done in 2 hours. Same time a mechanic said it would get done. But I was able to learn wisdom. Now, I'm not going to go take out the engine. That's a little bit too much. Like, you got to know your limits. Amen? I'm not going to take the engine out. But know your limits. Become wise and don't be foolish. Amen? It says in verse 3, those who were foolish took the lamps and took no oil with them. All right? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, a lot of people explain this oil as the, somebody help me out. What is this oil? The Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I can preach a message right there. Some people want to go without the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You'll go and run out. Gadget's gone. But if you have the Holy Spirit, this is the important thing about the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus said, when you have the Holy Spirit or when the Spirit comes upon you, he will give you power. Somebody say power. How many of you know that you need power to continue to walk in God? Without power, you will not continue to walk. If your car doesn't get power in the battery, the next time you come to start the car, it won't work. All right? Now, if your battery is not getting the charge for a while, it will work for a while. You guys know that? But when the alternator and the battery just have no power at all, it will run out. Some of us, we can go off of our own resources for a while, but it will run out. So what I'm going to say is get the Holy Spirit. He will empower you. Amen? It said, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Now, let me say this, too. When we look at what the Holy Spirit does, even in this whole situation, is the Holy Spirit kept them ready. See how that happened? How many people do we know that said, oh, God is coming one day, and they're like, yeah, right. I don't believe he's coming. He's taking so long. Well, even in this story, it said the bridegroom was delayed, right? So what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit will keep you prepared for his coming if you have him. Amen? Said, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Now, here is the moral to the story. Verse 13, watch. Somebody say watch. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So what is the parable? Be ready. Watch and be ready. Be prepared. Okay? Utilize the resources that you have. Some of us will say, how can I be prepared? By utilizing what God has already given you. If you have the Holy Spirit, he will continue to prepare you as you say, okay, God, continually prepare me. Today, clean me. One of the prayers that I always pray is create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit within. Why do I pray this? So that God can constantly purge anything that's not of him inside of me to get rid of it. So I be ready when he comes. Amen. And I believe that's a spirit of God's. That's something that the Spirit of God prompts me to pray. Amen. He brings that scripture to my remembrance. So we have to be ready. We have to use the resource even of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's not look to what we don't have, but look to what we do have. Hallelujah. Let me read this next parable. It says the parable of the talents. How many have heard this before? We all heard these before. But for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. All right. Now, let's just say this. God has given us all some kind of talent. Right. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it pushing. Verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Now, why is it important that we look at this? God doesn't give some people 20 or whatever the amount, 5. I'll just use the scripture. He don't give them 5 gifts because they don't have the ability to use them. Okay? This is important because some people will be like, why did God give them more? Because he knew that that person had the ability. And the Bible says, for whom he gives more, much is required from him. Amen? So if you want to be that person with 5 talents, you better be using those talents. That's the requirement. It said to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. Verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So in verse 20, he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Verse 21 says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 24 says, then. Somebody say then. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, this is his excuse. Somebody say excuse. Lord, I know you to be a hard man, right? Reaping where you have not sown. Now, just listen to this excuse. He knows that God gets a profit off of places he haven't even put anything in. He knows that. He says that. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. That means God is going to get an increase regardless, whether he did it or not. All right. But verse 25, this is the excuse some people use. And I was afraid. Anybody ever been afraid of God? Right. I remember going to churches as a young person and seeing people catch the Holy Spirit and fall out and jump. And you know, I was like, man, I'm not going over there. I believed in God. But I was like, that's still kind of like, and I'm not somebody that has fallen out. I don't think everybody that gets touched by the Holy Spirit has to fall out, right? I don't think everybody that gets hit with the Holy Spirit has to run all around the building. Unless you're prompted to by the Holy Spirit, then do what you do. But I've been spoken to by the Holy Spirit. Amen? I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I know that after I got older and I wasn't afraid of the Holy Spirit, I accepted him. How many people that we know that are afraid of speaking in tongues? I hear people speaking in tongues, and oh, whoa, they tripping. They on something else, right? So they begin to make fun of it, really because they're afraid of it. Somebody say, we have to get rid of being afraid. Somebody say, no excuses. And it says, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. All right? Now, he thought he was doing good. Look, at least I'm giving back to you what you gave to me. Hey, look, it's in the same shape. Look, matter of fact, when I dug it in there, I wrapped it up good, made sure it was going to stay good. So I'm taking it out the box right now. I haven't even, like, since I, this is the first time I'm bringing it out, and I'm giving it right back. It's in great shape, right? That's what this servant is saying. Look how God responds to his excuse. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked, somebody say wicked, and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Why does God do this? Because God does not like excuses. We have to get this in our mind. Whatever excuse you come to present to God, God is not going to accept it. Right? Now, it's interesting because we live in a day and age where sometimes we might have to have an excuse. I was late to my job. Right? And sometimes, what do? They accept your excuse. Right? You're late to your job. How many of you have been late to it? I've been late to my job before. Right? And you have to tell them, I had an excuse. Why were you late? Oh, because my alarm didn't go off in time. Right? This happened. Even to take your kids to school, if they're late, you have to give them an excuse. And I'm just trying to figure out why do I got to give them an excuse for me being late to take my kids? Like, they're at school. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking about it before. Like, there's a lot of control in that. Anyway, but what I am saying is they may accept it, but how many of you know if you get too many lates, tardies, or whatever, they're going to begin to not accept it. And what begins that? Oh, well, we're going to have to fire you. We're going to have to let you go because we value, I mean, they say it just like this, we value you being on time, right? And being on time is late. So be early, right? They give you all these excuses or they give you all these things to rebut your excuses. So we have to make sure that a God that is a perfect God, we have to remember God is a perfect God. And his world is a perfect world, not this world that we live in, but his world is a perfect world. So when he says do something, we cannot give him an excuse and say, I was afraid. God doesn't look well upon those things. Amen. Verse 29 says, for everyone who has more will be given and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, when we see that story, that's not a, woo, praise God, right? Because there was a consequence. But let me tell you this, your excuses are going to have consequences. Every excuse that you present to God is going to have consequences. So if your excuse is, God, I'm too tired to get up in the morning, but if I'm getting up for something else early in the morning, I got energy, right? How many of you have had that happen? Man, it's a vacation. You wake up early. Woo! I'm here on this beach. I'm about to get it 6 o'clock in the morning. And some people do that. Why? Because they're excited about that. So our excuse is we're not excited about being in the presence of God. So we have to say, okay, God, if that is the case, you have to say, God, help me learn to be excited in your presence. Fight your excuses. All right? Somebody say no excuses. All right, how do we defeat the excuse of I don't have enough resources? I talked about it, a few things, but I'm going to give you two more scriptures, and we're going to be out of here for the day. Philippians 4:19. All right, it says this. When it comes to we don't have enough, we have to look at it like this and say, and my God, somebody say, my God. My God, yeah. Shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right? So when you say, I don't have something to do what I need to do, God's word, his word says in Philippians 4:19, he will supply it. All right? Next time you don't have something, remember that verse. Apply that verse. Put that verse in your life and say, okay, I might not have the resource in front of me, but I do have God, and I know that he will supply everything that I need. Amen? Only got a few amens. Can I get an amen on that? 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 is another scripture. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but they should trust in the living God. All right? Why should they trust in the living God? Because it's he who gives us richly all things to enjoy. All right? That's all I want to talk about. If you feel like you don't have enough resources, God is your source. And if God is our source, we have enough. Amen? And if you feel like you don't have time or God is not your priority, you begin to seek first, but seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Put God first. Amen? I'm gonna ask you guys this. What is something that you do when you first wake up? What's the very first thing you do? Pray. That's great. Why do we do that? Because we're seeking God first. I used to wake up, in a way I used to wake up, I would look at my Twitter, I look at my Facebook, check my bank account, even though I know ain't nothing changed. I would do this, right? But then I was like, man, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray, and then the first thing I touch on my phone, come on somebody, is going to be the word of God. The first thing I look at on my phone is going to be God's word. Why? Because even when it comes to my phone, the kingdom has to be first. I have to seek God first. All right? Now, if you're watching TV, maybe the first thing you should watch, if you're watching YouTube, maybe it's something that you should watch is the word of God. Subscribe to a pastor that you enjoy. Get the word of God in you. Amen? Let us close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, oh God. I thank you, number one, dear God, that you supply all our needs according to your riches and your glory. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, that you have given your word to us, dear God, so that we can seek you first. Dear God, and not only seek you, but God, we have enough. You've given your Holy Spirit to us to continue to move forward, oh God. So I pray, dear God, that you would help us get rid of the excuses that are keeping us from becoming all that you have called us to be in you, oh God. And Heavenly Father, I even pray right now against the hindrances, dear God, that we have allowed to keep us from becoming all that we can be in you. And dear God, I pray to God that you would empower us to move forward in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. All right.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.